Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And welcome to this week's Thoughtful Thursday. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, at Hacking Your Leadership, and leave us a review on iTunes. Also, make sure you check out our YouTube and Patreon pages. They're in the links in the podcast description below. On this Thoughtful Thursday, what I want to talk about is a follow-up to my interview with Johnny C. Taylor Jr., the CEO and president of SHRM, Society for Human Resource Management, which published yesterday. If you have not checked out that interview, please do. I had a lot of fun talking with Johnny. I think he's a fantastic guy and really passionate about the things that that we talk about in that interview. So make sure you check that out. One of the things that I want to talk about is, as a follow-up to that interview, is this concept around leaders. You know, he talks about it in the concept of human resource leaders, but leaders in general, making sure that the right combination of data and relationships are kind of looked at when making hiring and promotion and, you know, any kind of personnel decisions. There are so many leaders out there who look at only one or the other. You know, you look at just data and you decide you want to be objective on who you promote or who you move around. And it's like, okay, well, who's been in the role the longest? Let's look at on paper what the numbers are and make that how we decide. To me, that sounds like a union, right? And you look at situations where it's all about relationships and you don't look at the data, and then you can get some people who get promoted who may not deserve it because they're good at, you know, making relationships and backslapping and all that stuff. And the nuance of how to make both work together, I think, is really important. I think it's something that a lot of leaders maybe struggle with.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, you know, you want to have enough kind of clarity and transparency in how you measure success with your teams and your leaders. And people should have a really clear understanding on what's the work that you should be doing, or what are the things that you should be, you know, having from an output standpoint that would make you show that you're capable of delivering results or you're capable of potentially leading a team. And then you should also have elements of it, which is the relationships and the networking and the capability to build influence and be approachable and all the things that are kind of like the people relationship side of it. And, you know, I think many times in my career early on, it would be usually one or the other. And those are like the mistakes that you make as kind of an early and first time leader, is that, oh, well, if I get along really well with this person, they seem to just kind of do whatever I ask them to do, and they don't give me any type of pushback, like, I think this would be a good role for them, or that they should become full-time or something like that. And then what you find out later on in the future is that they would just tell you that they agreed with you and they would do it, and then they don't actually do it.
Right.
And that they're just really good at manipulating you to get what they want. And then on the other side of that, if you just looked at the data and you said, well, if this person's really good at their job and they seem to always be a top performer, well, then I should make a decision for them because they should be able to help other people become top performers. And then you realize that maybe they don't have the greatest communication skills, or they're jerks, or they just, you know, they have no interest in actually inspiring or motivating people. So yeah, I absolutely agree that I think it's there's a balance there. And I think that as a leader, getting as much information, data, and observable relationships, conversations that can happen as possible is super helpful in making a decision like that.
Right, right. If I look at organizations that where the culture is such that it weighs very heavily on the data and not as much on the relationships, to me that says that's a culture where risk isn't tolerated. You know, they want these decisions to be completely objective. They don't want any personal biases getting in the way at all. And I'm not defending biases. They're not good, but they're impossible to eliminate. The best is that you can know they exist and take steps to mitigate the negative outcomes of them, as opposed to assuming they don't exist or trying to get rid of them altogether. So if you're in an organization where the risk of that is so great that it leads the decisions to be made based solely on what the data says and not based on relationships or the subjective ability of influencing or moving people, that's a really scary place to be. And again, to me, that reminds me of a union environment. In a situation like that, that's when you get people who they might be not the top performer, but they're like in the upper half, but they also are really good at influencing and leading and training and collaborating and building relationships with people. And if you're talking about promoting them, that's probably what they're going to be doing more of anyway, and less of the actual job. promoting the person who's really good at the job because the data says that's what you should do, that's a little bit, that to me, that's risky because you, you don't know necessarily how they're going to be able to train and develop and coach. And then again, vice versa, if a person is just really good at just influencing and leading, but there isn't that kind of base level of this is a cost of admission. You are expected to do your job. And there are people who want to be in leadership roles or take on expansion of roles or expansion of responsibility so much that they forget to do their day job well. And that's not acceptable either. And promoting people from that standpoint is a good way to demotivate the rest of your team who think, wait a minute, if this is not about how good I do my job, then what's the point anyway? And so either has really big potential for, you know, pitfalls if you don't do them the right way. The question that I want to ask you is, when was the last time you had to make a decision based on this where you kind of had to like convince somebody this was the right way to do something because they were kind of more heavily rooted in one or the other of those and not a good combination of both? So I want to tease that to you, but first I want to give it up to a word from one of our sponsors. All right, Lorenzo, so when was the last time you had to convince somebody of the right balance of these two things because they were really rooted in one or the other only?
Yeah, no, I think it happens where if you have teams where you have multiple leaders and they're responsible for different parts of the business, what can tend to happen is that they start to, you know, build relationships and loyalties, and they work with certain individuals on a team more time than other individuals on a larger team. And they can tend to, you know, have a great relationship with them, and they're kind of a partner in the work that's being done. And they can really become an advocate for them and their development and a potential career opportunity. And what I typically always have to make sure is like, well, then what do your peers say? You know what I mean? Yes, as a leader in the business, of course I trust your opinion and I appreciate kind of what you've observed and what you've seen, but like, what's this person's relationship with the rest of the peer group? Because that also matters a lot when you have teams where there are multiple leaders, because if this person has not done the proactive work, or maybe if you haven't made sure that they're also supporting other leaders in the business, then that can be a little bit of a rub, because the same way that you would have somebody that you feel is a fit for this next opportunity, maybe they do as well. And if you all aren't working together to kind of assess collectively, not only do we have great people that we would want to see in different roles, but of those great people, you know, who are the ones that have a certain skill or a competence or capability that we need specifically right now for this role that we're discussing? So that's usually what I see recently that I've had dialogue and conversations with, is making sure that when we're making decisions or that we're considering somebody for opportunities, their relationships and their network have to expand beyond just their direct leader if the opportunities have a larger impact on a larger team.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Have you ever been swayed one way or the other? Meaning you were, I don't want to say certain, but in your mind you were leaning one way or the other, and like very heavily leaning, and you heard something from somebody else that kind of made you think, oh, maybe my decision is rooted too heavily in one or the other of these things, the data or the relationships.
Absolutely. Well, even then, again, remembering that when you have, you know, layers of leadership and you have leaders of leaders and you have, you know, ways in which people spend their time, my perspective or my perception of someone may have been from work that was done a month or two or 3 months ago, or over, you know, I'm human as well. So my observations maybe only pertain to the things that I've involved this person in, on the things that we've discussed. So 100% of the time, I make sure that I'm asking the other leaders, you know, first and foremost, what do they feel? What do they think? And who do they see? And if I think that there's somebody out there that maybe I have a different perspective on, then I'll ask them. I said, what about this person? You know, and then they'll provide me with their insights or thoughts. You know, it's rare. It's happened where somebody says, oh, you know, I never really thought about that. And then, you know, score 1 point for Lorenzo, right? But most of the time they have. Most of the time they have considered that person, and they can share with me either more relevant or more recent observations or thoughts or work that they're doing that I am not aware of, that's helping to shape my thoughts as well. So I see all those things in the world of leadership and kind of having a team of people, that those decisions are also a team decision, and that my vote is usually ever not ever casts, or it holds the same weight as every other leader on a team. Because again, the minute that my vote means more than their vote, I think it's just, it doesn't make any sense to me, unless it's specific roles of direct reporting to me where I've now had, you know, an opportunity to work with an individual, spend time with them, that type of thing. But when it comes to a larger team, those that work with them most should be the ones who have the loudest voices when it comes to considering, you know, whose opportunities are up next and you know, who we should be thinking about for these types of opportunities.
Right, right. And if ever you were to say to a person, hey, have you considered this person? If the answer is typically, you know, I hadn't thought about that, you're right. Let's go that route instead. That means one of two things. Either the person you're talking to is not in the right role if they truly haven't thought about that person at all. If it hasn't come across their mind, maybe they're the wrong person making the decision if they don't have a good scope of who the people are. Or it means that you haven't set up a culture on your team that says people can challenge and push back, and they're going, hey, you know what? Lorenzo wants this to be his guy. We're going to make it his guy. And so if you don't get any of that pushback to begin with, then that could be an issue too. So definitely something to kind of check yourself on if you find that whenever you say something, it tends to be what happens as opposed to getting any pushback.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and it rarely goes my way. I've learned over time that, you know, I can have my thoughts and my opinions and I can share kind of my perspective, but really, you know, allowing leaders to be a big part of that decision is what allows them to continue to build their confidence, to be able to work as a collective team, to work out the debate that might need to happen or the reason why people feel this person or that person is what's needed for whatever the next thing is. And I think that space is way more important than me just saying like, well, this is what I think and this is how it should go. So, yeah, it's I just think if that's, you know, it's if you're building a culture of empowerment and you're building a culture of kind of trust and transparency and development, then you'll find yourself less and less in those conversations and for the most part having almost no influence or opinion on who it should be and why. Because if you are, then to your point, there's probably something else in there that needs to be addressed from a leadership standpoint.
Yeah, 100%. And then lastly, what I'll say is that if you're a leader of leaders, the interaction time you have with the person in question, their direct boss is going to interact with them a lot more than you will if you're one or two layers removed. And so really, if it comes down to where there's just, you know, you have two people and they're both like equally qualified and they're both great, it really should default to that, to the leader who's going to be kind of, you know, leading that team directly. They're the ones who have to interact with them. You as a leader of leaders should definitely have to sign off, because there's something that part of the development of your direct reports is in teaching them how to hire and train the right people. And these moments where you can kind of guess and check with them are important for their own development. But if you don't see truly anything wrong with either of the potential people, it probably should go to the one who's going to be leading that team.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And have a great day.